At this time, I'd invite Pastor Brad to come and bring us a message regarding Christ's advent.
Good evening. If you would, if you have your Bibles with you, open to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Shall we open in a word of prayer? Our Father, we count ourselves blessed to be able to gather together on this evening and recall the events of Christ coming to earth, of Him coming to be our Redeemer, our Savior, our King. We give thanks to You, Father, for not only this great night that we have to be together, but for that night when He did come, and when He did come to ultimately bear our sin and provide a way of salvation, a deliverance from Your wrath, Your coming wrath. So we give thanks to You, Father, and as we spend a few moments now considering these things and considering Your word, we pray that You would be with us, that You would open our eyes to see more clearly the spiritual truths contained in Your word, that You would send Your Spirit to bless and encourage and comfort and to open the eyes of those who have not yet seen these great truths in a believing way. We thank You, Father, again for this evening, for this time, for one another's company and friendship, and for the great blessing that we have in Christ. We ask all this and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, whether we're young or old, we tend to come to Christmas with many expectations. Christmas is a time of expectations. When we're young, our expectations are typically held captive by what we see under the tree. And as we grow older into adulthood, our desires may mature and grow, but we still have and bring expectations to Christmas. Little ones may be expecting toys or games or what have you under the tree. Young adults may expect clothes or maybe cash, maybe the latest electronic gadgets. And parents oftentimes are expecting or hoping that all the family can be together and that everybody can get along and that maybe we can enjoy the family traditions we've had throughout the years. And how many people seek or expect to recapture that elusive Christmas spirit? How many seek again that experience, that Christmas spirit that they had when they were younger or at some point in the past? We expect much from this season of the year. And while many may not put it in these terms, what we expect, what we're really looking for, is the blessedness of Christmas. Christmas just has this aura of being rich and heavy laden with blessings. We imagine the first Christmas some 2,000 years ago, and even though it took place in a dark and cold stable that smelled like animals, yet it seems to have been rich with blessing. We imagine and perhaps even envy Joseph and Mary for their blessedness of being there. And we want a taste of that. We want a taste of that blessing, those blessings that pour down from God above. We want to experience and taste that in some small way. So we seek it every December of every year. And who could deny the remarkable blessings experienced by Joseph and Mary, especially Mary? She certainly didn't fail to recognize it herself. While Mary may not share our romanticized view of the stable and the coldness of it all, she certainly recognized that she was blessed. She herself said that she was blessed among women. She said that she would be blessed for all generations. What could possibly compare to the blessings that this young girl experienced in her young life up to that point and including after the birth of Christ? What a remarkable blessing for a teenage girl to have a visitation from an angel, an archangel, and for that archangel to even give her his name, Gabriel. And he doesn't greet her with empty words, with no meaning to them. Consider what he says to her. Rejoice, highly favored one. for the Lord is with you. You know, one of the great hopes and promises that carries us through our struggle and our battle in the Christian pilgrimage is the hope that at the end of our lives, at the end, when we see Christ face to face, we would hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And here is Mary, far before her death, hearing from an archangel that she is highly favored and that the Lord himself is with her. What a remarkable blessing for this young girl. And Gabriel even emphasizes that in his address to her. He tells her, "You are blessed among women." What a remarkable blessing for Mary. And after the birth of Christ, Mary receives again more blessing. You'll recall the scene 8 days after the birth of Christ when his parents are taking him to be circumcised in accordance with the law of Moses. As they're passing through the temple, an old man, an old prophet, full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit, approaches as she's holding her newborn son. This prophet's name is Simeon. And he takes Jesus from her arms and he blesses God, saying in part, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." So Simeon then blesses Mary, the mother of this prophesied child, and he prophesies over her as well. He tells her that this son will bring about the rising and the falling of many in Israel, and that a sword would pierce her own heart too. The text says that both Mary and Joseph marvel at Simeon's words. Again, what a tremendous blessing for Mary to see her son singled out and prophesied over, and to have such a godly and devout man prophesy over her as well. What a remarkable blessing for a girl that's still a mere youth. So as Mary's life with Jesus unfolds over those years, as she watches with wonder and curiosity the sinless life of her sinless son, surely Gabriel's words must have resounded in her ears time and again, "Blessed are you among women." Whether you consider Mary at the birth of Christ standing with the archangel speaking directly with her, or whether you think of her standing in the temple with the godly Simeon prophesying over her son and over her as she listens with rapt attention, one word truly, clearly describes Mary: blessed. As Mary herself said, she was blessed among all women, and she is blessed through all generations. And yet, there is a blessing that far exceeds all these remarkable blessings of Mary. All the many blessings that Mary received as the mother of Jesus are exceeded by a greater blessing that is offered to any and all who would seek it. This blessing isn't limited to a certain place or time of the year. It isn't limited to people who knew Jesus while he was here on earth. This blessing isn't merely a feeling or some elusive Christmas spirit. This blessing isn't based on what we find under the tree or inside a card or even at our family gatherings. This blessing exceeds all those and is greater even than the wonderful blessings that Mary had as the mother of Christ. Jesus himself spoke of this blessing, and he declared himself it to be much more glorious than even the blessings that Mary had. If you'll recall, on one occasion, and this is what we find in Luke 11, during his earthly ministry, Jesus was teaching on the doctrine of Satan and of demons. And he was revealing the condition of a man that had a demon leave him for a period of time, but yet because there was no true conversion in the man, the demon returns with seven others. So it says that the man's condition was worse at the end than it was at the beginning. And if you look in Luke chapter 11 now, and we'll start in verse 27, immediately after this teaching of Christ regarding Satan and the demon, it says this: "And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you.'" This woman is saying the exact same thing that we've been saying all along. She hears the powerful teaching of this man. She sees his godly bearing. She observes his gracious manner. She hears that grace and truth and holiness just pours out of this man, and it stirs within her to the point where she can't hold it in. She cries out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you. Blessed are the breasts that nursed you." And Jesus doesn't deny what she says. He doesn't disregard or discredit her statement, but he says this: "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Jesus, in effect, says to her, "You're right. The woman who bore me, the woman who nursed me, she is blessed. She's blessed among all women and blessed for all generations. But there's more than what you're thinking of. There is a greater blessing than the ones that you've mentioned. There is a blessing greater than even she received who was my mother. And what is that blessing? It is the blessing that is greater than standing in the presence of an archangel. Think about it. How many wicked, vile angels are in the presence of the holy angels continually, yet with dread and fear and despair? And this blessing is greater than hearing with your own ears the words of a prophet prophesying over you. How many hundreds of thousands of people heard the voice of Moses himself prophesying concerning them, yet they died in their sins in that wilderness? There is a blessing that is greater than all these. So what is this blessing of which Jesus speaks? What is the blessedness of hearing and keeping the word of God? This blessing which Jesus speaks of is nothing other than what the Bible refers to as the new birth. It is the fulfillment of God's promise to remove the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh, a living, believing, obeying heart. It is the blessing of the awakened and renewed heart, a heart that is awakened to the Word of God and renewed in order to keep it and obey it. The first and chief characteristic of the awakened heart is that it is now alive to and attentive to the Word of God. It now hears the voice of God in the Word of God. It wasn't always that way. Our hearts by nature are dead in sin and dead to the Word of God. We do not care if He speaks, and if He does, we do not care what He says. But the awakened heart has been made alive to the voice of God in the Word of God. This heart realizes that the Bible is not just some ancient manuscript. It is the very Word of God. It is His very breath. And Jesus is that Word made flesh. And it isn't just that the heart is awakened now to the Word of God. It isn't only now that the heart listens for and hears the Word of God. Jesus says this blessing exceeds all blessings, and that it provides or it imparts a disposition of heart that desires to and lives to keep and obey the Word of God. In other words, the immediate corollary of the hearing heart is the obeying heart. The awakened and renewed heart isn't satisfied with merely hearing the Word of God, though it loves to hear the Word of God. There is in it a compelling desire to keep, to obey the Word of God. So what Jesus is holding out here is nothing other than the salvation of the entire man. His mind is awakened, his heart is stirred by the Word of God, and his will is renewed to obey. This is the blessing that Jesus is talking about. This is the blessing that exceeds all the many blessings that Mary had as his mother. In fact, if Mary had all those many rich and remarkable blessings, yet lacked this one, then not only would she not have been blessed to all generations, she would have been lost in her sin and condemned forever. There is no equal to this blessing of the awakened and the renewed heart. There is no substitute for this blessing. So the question on this Christmas Eve is this: is this blessing yours? Do you have such a heart in you? Is there in you a love for hearing and keeping the Word of God? You weren't born that way. None of us were born that way. We are born dead in sin and dead to the Word of God. And we cannot produce or will such a heart to exist in us. As we read just yesterday out of the Gospel of John, if you'll recall, to have this heart is to be born not of blood, not of the flesh, not of the will of man, but to be born of God. So, has this blessing from Almighty God been granted to you? Do you have this love for the Word of God in you, to hear it, to keep it, even if the Bible exposes your sin and deeply wounds your conscience? Do you still want to hear it and accept it and keep it? If you were to find nothing else under the tree, if card after card has only dried ink on the inside, if all else was taken from you and all you could expect to have and keep was still to be able to hear and keep the Word of God, could you still rejoice and count yourself blessed? If this is the case with you, if you find this heart inside of you, then you have the greatest of all blessings. You possess already the pearl of great price. You have a blessing that none but God Himself could give. Of God's rich grace, you have been given grace upon grace to believe and obey. Rejoice in it and be thankful with all humility, because He does not give this gift to everyone, but He has given it to you. So cherish it. And never neglect this grace, this gift, or take for granted such a heart. Never allow it to fall into decay or decline through sinful carelessness. It is the choicest gift of heaven. It is what Christ earned for you by His life, by His death, by His resurrection. If, however, you find that this is not the case with you, you do not have this compelling desire to hear and to obey the Word of God, then before you set yourself to dive into all the many distractions and celebrations of Christmas, you must come to terms with your miserable condition. You may get all you hope for under the tree or in every other way, but without this blessing of the awakened and renewed heart, all of it will only serve to make you more miserable now and hereafter. You remain in your sins, and if you perish in your sins, you will die eternally in the immensity of the wrath of God against those sins. You have heard again tonight the Word of God. Now you must call out to God for the grace to believe it and keep it. There is no greater blessing you should expect or seek. There is no greater gift you should hope for or pray for this Christmas Eve. A heart that longs to hear and loves to obey the Word of God, this is the greatest blessing of all. A blessing that far exceeds all those remarkable blessings given to Mary at that first Christmas all those centuries ago. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, We do thank you for the great blessing you've given to us in sending Christ to be our Savior, to provide a way to have new life in Christ. We give thanks to you for your grace that is powerful to save. We give thanks to you, Father, for the reading and the hearing of the Word of God. And we pray that you would cause your Word to be heard by all those who are here gathered together, that all would hear it in faith, and that all would obey it in sincere love and gratitude to you. In Jesus' name, amen.